I want to call your attention to Luke chapter 13 once again, and I want to read in your hearing verses 1 through 9. The Bible says there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus answering said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? I tell you nay, or I tell you no. But except ye repent, you or ye shall all likewise perish. Or 18, he goes on to challenge him with another incident. Are those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you no or nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Then he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard and came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. There's a question that's answered that I think perplexes many of us even to this day. And that is the question concerning the relationship between sin and suffering. There are a lot of us who believe that all suffering is due to some sin that someone or that person has committed. Jesus is responding to this question by showing that all suffering is not the product of those individuals to whom have been victimized. But yet, you and I need to understand that it's hard for us when we're going through suffering to ask ourselves, what have I done? Well, Jesus is helping them to understand. He said, you asking me about these Galileans because you're supposing that the reason that their blood was mingled with the sacrifices by Pilate is because they had sinned. Jesus said, no. But then he turns to them and he says, except ye or you repent, you will likewise perish. So he moved them away from the purpose for which the suffering had come upon the Galileans to focus their attention upon themselves. Then he gave them another illustration of something that happened in Judea. You're talking about what happened in Galilee. I'm going to show you something that happened in Judea. There were 18 who the Tower of Siloam fell on. And with your thinking, you're thinking that they are sinners above all those that are in Judea. He answers again. He says, no. He said, but I tell you, pointing to them, I tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So he understands that in life, sometimes it's not for us to focus on why something happens, or to look into the past. What I see Jesus doing is telling us, don't focus on the past. Look toward the future. What you do in the circumstances that you find yourself is more important than why the circumstances are taking place. So what he is saying to them, repent. Repentance is a change of heart that leads to a change of direction. Jesus is saying your direction needs to change. Stop looking at your neighbor. Stop trying to examine yourselves from the standpoint of some sin. What you need to do is focus your attention on what you're going to do in the circumstance that's going to bring glory and honor to God Almighty. And so he gives them this parable in order that he might help them to focus upon themselves. When I look at this parable, it's about fruit bearing. He believes that fruit can be born under every circumstance. You don't have to tell me what you're going through. I know for a fact that God is able to bring forth fruit from that circumstance. In the parable, I believe that the owner represents God. I believe that the vine dresser is Jesus Christ himself. When you consider the vineyard, now I know that there are several applications to the vineyard. You can make the application that Jesus is speaking concerning Israel. For we have proof that Israel was a vine in the Lord's vineyard. But I want you not to see it as the world, not to see the vineyard as Israel. For our lesson today, I want you to see the vineyard and the tree as yourself. I want you to focus in on yourself. I want us to see and answer the question concerning this particular parable. Is God pleased with me? Has God brought judgment upon me? Because certainly this is a parable that teaches us that God has great expectation. When I consider this parable, I want you to follow me this way. I want you to follow me, first of all, to know that God is a God of design. God is a God of design. But then also I want you to follow me that God is also a God of judgment. Well, when you consider the fact that God is a God of design, I like to go back. I like to go all the way back to the beginning. When God made the world by design. Everything that God did, he did it because of a design that he had already had in his mind. God spoke, but it comes from a design that he has in mind, that his word may be able to accomplish it. All of creation is by design. The sun has a design and a purpose for which it was made. Moon has a design and a purpose for which God made it. The stars have a design and a purpose for which God made it. All of the earth, the herbs, the trees, every tree is made by a design that God had in his heart and his mind. You and I need to see that even the fish in the sea, every one of them, made for God and made by design. Every bird in the air, all of the birds, every bird is made by design, has an intent and a purpose by God Almighty. Every beast of the field that God created, he created it with design. When you have to clean up behind your dog, that's because your dog is made by design. Don't fuss because you had to clean up behind him, because that's just the way God made dogs. Well, the point that I'm making is, I hope that I have proven to you that if God makes something, if God is the architect of it, God has done it because there is a design and a purpose and an intent behind what he has done. This parable shows us that the owner of the vineyard is the one who planted the tree. He chose the tree. Out of all of the trees, he chose a fig tree. Then he planted it in the vineyard. That means that he had an intent for purpose behind planting that tree. You and I need to understand that when God made man with an intent and with a purpose. So don't sit here today thinking that I just happened to be born into this world. No, 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 no. God purposely made the X and Y chromosomes come together to create you. God did that. You're designed the way you're designed. Now, I know we eat and do other things and kind of move it out of place, but you're who you are because God has made you that way. So I want you to know that God is a good God. But I also want you to see, because I think it's important that you understand that God has a purpose. Let's go and look at Israel. Even when you go back to Isaiah 5 and verse number 1, I want you to listen to this. Isaiah 5 and verse number 1. Now, this is Israel and God purposely choosing them and designing them. The Bible says, now will I sing. This is Isaiah singing this song. Now will I sing to my beloved a song of my beloved touching, watch this, his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. He fenced it, gathered out the stones thereof, planted it with the choicest vines, built a tower in the midst of it, also made a wine press therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes. So when God took Israel, he brought Israel out of Egyptian bondage. God selected Israel above all nations and brought them to the land of Canaan, rooted out the nations that were in the land of Canaan. God fenced them in. God put a tower in the midst of Israel. God made a wine press. Now that wine press was for a purpose. That wine press was that God would receive fruit from the planting of Israel. But instead of Israel bringing honor and glory to God Almighty, that's what everything that he created is, to bring glory and honor to God Almighty. But instead of doing that, they brought forth wild grapes. And because of their inability to bring honor and glory to God, this moves me to point number 2. That is the disappointment of the owner. When the owner went to that fig tree and saw after 3 years that the fig tree was not bearing fruit, the owner was disappointed. When God went to the land of Canaan, where he had planted his people, the children of Israel, the Jewish nation, and instead of them producing fruit, producing those things that brought honor and glory to God, the Bible said that God was disappointed in them. And because of his disappointment, God tore down the wall around them. God broke down that tower that was there. God removed all of the protection, all of the oversight. And God allowed the wild beasts to come in and to devour Israel. When they went into Babylonian captivity, it was because of their failure to honor God. So when I look at this point number 2, whenever the owner comes in and something is not producing according to its design, its purpose, and its intent, then the owner has a right. The owner is disappointed. Therefore, the owner not only will just show disappointment, but he also has the ability and the authority to also bring about destruction. You know, we had a microwave not too long ago that stopped working. And I wasn't going to just leave that microwave up there not working.
because that's not why I purchased the microwave. I purchased that microwave to microwave my food. And when the microwave stopped producing, yes, I was disappointed. But in my disappointment, I also found that it needed to be replaced. So God is the same way. When God makes anything, God comes to expect it. When God made the world, God came and he looked upon the world and he saw that the world was wicked, saw that all the thoughts and the hearts of men were wicked. What did God do? God told Noah, you better build you an ark. Why, Noah? Because I'm going to destroy the world in which I've created. God did that. Why did he do it? He did it because of his disappointment in men. Why did he do it? Because he has the power to remove that which is not responding to him according to his design and his purpose. So you and I need to also understand that as God did Israel, as God did the world in which he created, God has done the same thing and doing the same thing in this parable. He is saying, why? He said, first of all, cut it down. Why cumber the ground? You look at yourself this morning. God has truly blessed us. God has brought us a mighty long way. Is judgment upon us this morning? You don't know, but God knows. God is asking to see fruit in our lives. Amen. I have a home. Am I bearing fruit? I'm a minister. Am I bearing fruit? If you have any responsibility in the Lord's church, are you bearing fruit? What is God saying about you? What is God's attitude toward what we're doing? I pray that it's not disappointment. Because if it's disappointment, God is showing us in this parable that one will perish. I want to underscore perish. Because the Bible says, why cumber the ground? Cut it down. Some of us don't like to dwell on the fact that God will bring destruction upon that which he has made. He will do the same for you and me. It's easy for him to destroy the world. But when he made us, amen, a living soul, which means that we are everlasting beings. Say that again, Brother Gibb. When God created me and I was born a spirit, and my spirit is in a body, but my spirit will live forever. I will never die. My body will die, but my spirit that God gave me will never die. If I disappoint God, if I'm disobedient to God, this parable teaches me that God is going to punish. God is going to destroy. I wish I were like a fish. I wish I were like a bear. I wish I were like some other animal. I wish I were like my microwave. I wish I were like some of those things. But inasmuch as I'm going to live forever, God is going to bring punishment. Now, what's your punishment? God knows that our soul will live forever. So the only thing that he can do is to carry us into everlasting destruction. Carry us into everlasting, because your soul will never be pleasing to God. So if you're here this morning, I'm begging you, before it's too late, understand that God has given you life, brought you into this world for expectation. God wants to see fruit coming from each and every one of us. If we disappoint God, if we don't do what God says, God is going to destroy us. He said, cut it down. Why cumber it the ground? Even in the days of Noah, God said it repented him that he had made man. Why? Because man became a disappointment. In 2019, I'm asking us to look carefully at ourselves and examine ourselves and ask, is there some disappointment that God has in me? Have I really brought forth fruit? Well, the last point that I want to make, and the lesson will be yours, is that I'm glad that in that parable, there was the dresser, the garden dresser, and he begged the owner And he said, leave it alone this year also. Said, let me dig about it. Let me dung it. And then if it brings forth fruit, well. If not, then you can cut it down. I like this part of the parable. Out of all of the parts of this parable, this is perhaps, I believe, the highlight. And that is that there is an intercessor. There is an intercessor between God's expectation and disappointment and the destruction that God is going to bring. I'm glad that there's a mediator who stands between, who speaks on behalf of the tree. And he says, leave it alone this year also. Thank God for the intercessor. Thank God for the one who stands between. I'd like to ask you the question this morning. Who do you think the intercessor is? The intercessor could be nobody but Jesus Christ himself. Though you and I may be under condemnation from God, thank him for Jesus Christ our Lord. God has always allowed intercessors to stand between him and judgment. I remember when God wanted to bring judgment upon Sodom and Gomorrah. The Bible said that Abraham stood between God and Sodom and Gomorrah. And he said, God, if I can find 50, will you destroy Sodom? Will you save Sodom? God said, if you can find 50, I'll save it. In other words, here is Abraham serving as an intercessor. Thank God for the intercessor. When I was growing up, and I knew that my father was going to bring judgment upon me, punish me, I appreciated my sister standing in and said, Daddy, why don't you give him another chance? I'm glad to know that there's always somebody that'll stand between you and judgment. Bible said that God so loved the world, even in the midst of his sin, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I thank God for the intercessor. Thank God that Jesus Christ is the one who stands between God and his judgment. The Bible tells us clearly that the wrath of God has already been revealed from heaven. God already has poured out his wrath. Only way that you can be saved from the wrath that God has poured out is that there got to be an intercessor between you and the wrath of Almighty God. I'm going to say it again. Thank God for Jesus Christ, because it's Jesus who stands between the wrath of Almighty God and our salvation. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 5, the Bible said there is one God. Am I right? One mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself, amen, a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I'm glad to know that Jesus Christ stands between me and the God that I serve. When my disappointment comes, Jesus Christ is there to make intercession. May I give you another scripture? I'm closing now, but I'm going to give you another scripture. One thing that I want you to leave here today is knowing that you have somebody who stands between you and the judgment of Almighty God. And I want you to carefully and know that if it had not been for Jesus, you and I wouldn't be here today. Watch this, Romans 8, verse number 31. What shall we say then to these things? He said, if God be what? For us. Who can be against us? Watch this now. What shall we say then to these things? If God be what? For us. Who can be against us? I'm testifying for a fact. Those 3 years that the owner came to that tree, it was because he was for the tree. It was because he believed in the tree. Are you with me now? And so the Bible said, but who can be against us? Well, watch this now. He that spared not his own son. In other words, God had to do something. God said, I see the dilemma that mankind is in. But God had to do something himself. That means the owner had to make sure that the tree is not destroyed. So the intercessor, hear me well, is produced by the owner. The owner, who is God, had to bring the intercessor between us and God. Who are you going to bring? I'm going to bring my own son.
And then that's why the Bible says, spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. In other words, I know that that tree is to be destroyed, but I'm glad to know instead of the tree being destroyed, that he put the tree aside and allowed the intercessor to do something that I know that no other man could do. And that is, he took the place of the fig tree. He took the place of the one who is to be condemned. Somebody sees him on the cross. On the cross and being destroyed on the cross is for us, not him. But it's because he's the intercessor. It's because he's the mediator. It's because he is the one who goes between us and the wrath of God and the wrath of God and God. Well, us and God. Then I know that Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, is to be appreciated because he spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall we not with him also freely give us all? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay a charge to God's elect? It is God that what? Justified. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also, here it is, maketh what? Intercession for us. So I'm glad that Jesus Christ is the intercessor. So the parable teaches me that there is an intercessor who stands between you and God, and between you and the wrath of Almighty God. I'm glad to know that even John talked about it. In 1 John chapter 2, in verse number 1, he said, my little children, these things write unto you, that ye sin not. And he said, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, and that's Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and that not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So I stand here under the condemnation of God, but I'm glad to know that I have an intercessor who took my place, who has already been condemned for me. And through his life, I'm now able to do what God will ask me to do without coming under his wrath. But may I say this to you before I close, and that is, remember that God is still looking for fruit. For here's what the intercessor said. The intercessor said, let me dig around it. Let me dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. I'm saying to us, though you may have an intercessor, if you don't bear fruit, you are going to be condemned. He may stand and put the wrath of God off, but I'm telling you, he's still looking for fruit. He's looking for fruit from every one of us. I heard John use another illustration. In John 15, he said, I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him the same, bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, watch this now, he is cast forth as a branch, and he's withered. Men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. I'm asking you, I know that you have an intercessor. I know you have a mediator. I know you have an advocate. But I'm trying to tell you, he can only help you for so long. God is still looking for fruit from you. God still wants to see, are you being active in the worship service? Are you being involved in Bible class? Are you living out the principles even in your home? Are you carrying out the principles on your job? God didn't bring you into this vineyard just for you to look pretty. God wants to find some fruit on every one of us. Somebody needs to understand that God is still looking for some fruit. He said, if you abide in me, some of you, I'm wondering about your abiding. Where are you now? Are you still involved with Jesus? Are you still connected to Jesus Christ? I'm so glad as I close this lesson that he is a mediator, but I also know I got to do something in bearing fruit as well. As I close, let me say this to you, that he knows that he's looking for fruit. I ask you, and I'm asking you to notice this, that the intercessor and the intercessor, who is Jesus Christ, who will stand between you, God, and the wrath of Almighty God, I want you to notice where the intercessor is. Somebody asked me, where is he? Home. He's in the vineyard. Where is God making intercession? In the vineyard. Where does God make a difference? In the vineyard. Where did the owner plant that fig tree? He planted it in the vineyard. Somebody say, well, I want God to stand between me. I want somebody to stand between me and God. But I'm here to tell you, he'll only stand between you and God in the vineyard. Ask me, what is the vineyard? Well, I'm glad you did. When God made the world, God planted a garden. Where did he put the man? Put him in the garden. Amen. Where did God take care of him? In the garden. Out of all the world, God took care of him. Where? In the garden. Where did God bring mercy? He brought it in the garden. Am I right about it? Somebody asked me, where did God bring all of his blessing to help Israel? He brought them all to the land of Canaan. God didn't bless them in the other place, but in the land of Canaan. Why? Because that's his people. That's his people in his place. Every time I look at it, where is God making intercession today? He's making it in the church of Christ. If you want God to help you, he's got to help you in his vineyard. And the vineyard is the church of Christ. No intercession outside the vineyard. No intercession outside the church of Christ. You got to be in the church of Christ. If you're outside the church of Christ, the wrath of God is going to cover you. Am I right? You got to be in the church of Christ. Brother Gibbs, you were preaching when you were talking about the vineyard, talking about the fig tree, talking about God, talking about the intercessor. Now you're talking about being in the church. Well, I'm trying to show you, if you want God to help you, you got to be in the church of Christ. Nowhere outside the church of Christ will you ever be saved. Somebody say, well, that's mighty narrow. God has always been narrow, and God is going to stay narrow, but he'll help you. But you got to be where God can help you. Am I right about it? Oh, Lord, I'm telling the truth here. So you got to be in the vineyard, be in the church that God has given his intercession. And I'm closing now. And I'm saying to you, when you bear fruit, your fruit must be in the vineyard. You may be a good person, but it's outside the vineyard. Amen. Don't count. It's got to be in the vineyard. Somebody say, well, I know God's going to. No, he ain't going to save you unless you're in the vineyard. Am I right about it? That's the parable. It's in his vineyard. You got to get in his vineyard. And I'm saying to you, don't you leave 2019 outside the vineyard. Amen. Let God plant you where he wants you to bring fruit. Grow your fruit in the church of Christ. Well, Brother Gibbs, I'm in a church. Well, I want to ask you, is that church the Lord's church? Somebody said, well, Brother Gibbs, you're judging. No, I'm not judging. Why? Because if your church is not in the Bible,
amen,
it's not the Lord's vineyard. No. Somebody said, well, that's my. No. When I got married, I knew that was my wife. You know why? Because I had a certificate. I took a blood test. We signed up. It went on record. Call the records in Jackson, Tennessee. Pull the record.
Amen.
Pull it. 1971, I was married to Jeanette Godwin. It's on record. No. Well, you just say, no. It's a record.
Preacher.
When I purchased my home, I had to go through a title. I had to get a title deed. They ran the reference of the property. Made sure it was what it was supposed to be. It's documented.
Preacher.
They put my name on that title. Where I live today is mine. Ain't because I said it. It's because I know it's written. Well, how do I know it's the Church of Christ? It's written.
It's written. Amen.
Now I know. Have I gotten too ugly yet?
No. Preach it.
My mouth all right?
No, you good. Preach it.
Preach
it. Amen, 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 amen. You young people need to listen to Brother Gibbs. Some of you are leaving the Church of Christ, going to some other church. You don't need to do that. There's no salvation outside of the Church of Christ. This is the Lord's vineyard.
Amen.
Well, somebody say, well, they got fruit out there. Yeah, I know they got fruit out there, and I know that you, but is it the Lord's vineyard?
Amen.
Everybody not looking right.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
All right, but it's the truth.
It is the truth. It is the truth. That's the truth. Amen.
I'll say more before I take it back.
Yeah. Amen.
Because it's the truth.
It's the truth.
And these young people are just being drawn away.
Yeah, they are. They are.
Well, they sing over there, but are they singing in the Lord's vineyard?
Amen.
Am I making sense?
Yes. Whole lot of sense. Amen. Whole lot of sense.
So you need to be in the Lord's church. That's the only place you can grow fruit that gets recognized and you get credit for. I heard Jesus say, every plant which my heavenly Father had not planted,
amen,
shall be rooted up.
Amen.
So if you don't, if you're not where God planted,
what he said.
And I'm telling you where all the saved are. Acts 2:47, praising God, having faith with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Where are the saved? In the church. Who put them there? God. I guess you're waiting on me to,
amen,
say something else. Well, I think I've said enough. Hear the gospel. Believe it with all of your heart. I preach to you the truth today. And I'm trying to show you where you can bear fruit and where you get credit and you'll escape the wrath of God. It's got to be in the Lord's vineyard. It's got to be in the Lord's church. And you got to let the Lord plant you in the church. And that's why baptism is so important, because it's a planting. Romans 6, 3, 4, and 5. You're planted into the kingdom of God. That's what baptism is about. You go down a sinner, but you come up, amen, saved.
Amen.
And then you're planted, just like the resurrection. You are now planted in the new life, and you're planted by God, but it's in the Church of Christ. I pray somebody wants to do that. If you're straight away from God and you're not where you need to be, you're not doing what you need to be doing, I'm telling you, God is going to come back looking. And you don't want to be caught. Let the mediator help you. Let him nurture you. Will you come? Come right now. While together we stand and sing, will you come?
Number 739. I am the vine and ye are the branches. Bear precious fruit for Jesus today. Branches in him, no fruit ever bearing. Jesus has said, he take it away. I am the vine and ye are the branches. I am the vine, be faithful and true. Ask what ye will, your prayer shall be granted. The Father loved me, so I have loved you.